Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you for another edition of Phillies Today. Tough loss last night to the New York Mets, but I have breaking news for you. You ready for this? The Phillies are still the best team in baseball. I enjoy saying that, but just another awesome past week for the Phillies as they managed to take 3 of 4 from the New York Mets. Again, tough one last night, but you still take care of business in the series. Always enjoy beating up on the Mets, so that was fun. Edwin Diaz, some are calling him washed here, but seriously, just the fact that you're able to get to Diaz twice was pretty cool. And I actually went up to Citi Field on Monday for the game, visiting a friend up there. So when they came back off Diaz the first time, so it was very cool to see that in person. Just great vibes around this baseball team right now, and it just feels like they're kind of finding new ways to do it every night, even in the game they lose last night. They kind of fight and claw their way back there. So just really good stuff to see. Trey Turner goes down, no problem. Edmundo Sosa is going to hit, 360-something with an OPS over 1,200 in his last seven games before last night. JT and Schwarber get nicked up before the Mets series. That's fine. The rotation of the bullpen will hold it down. Just signs of a great team. And right now it just feels like they know how good they are. And while you obviously lose the finale last night of the series, they looked a bit sloppy in the past couple games. They still had an opportunity to win both of them. And if it weren't for those bad decisions on the base paths and the wild pitches last night, we're talking about a sweep here. And I just want to talk about this whole past week and talk about the lineup, talk about the rotation of the bullpen as we normally do, and then get into a little preview of this weekend series at home against the Nationals. Another team under 500. And the Nats have been exceeding some expectations. They are another team the Phillies should beat. But before I get to everything, though, and speaking of teams the Phillies should beat, I want to talk about the whole easy schedule discourse for a minute, because I feel like it's just been a big topic on social media surrounding the team so far. A lot of people are saying the Phillies only winning these games because they have an easy schedule, and they do statistically have the easiest schedule in the league. So I still think that doesn't have any implication on how good or how not good this team is. I think this is a really good baseball team. And have they played an easy schedule to start the year? Yes, they have. Right now, they have the lowest opponent win percentage in baseball at 457 going into last night's games around the league. But my response would be, how many years have we sat and watched this baseball team and go, wow, they have a really easy month coming up, or they have a big series early here against what should be a bad team and you have to capitalize on it, and they fail to do so. The normal cliche is always that you can only play who's in front of you, but right now that's the truth. And this isn't like college football where you don't play everyone and you just, your schedule may be easy or may be hard. Like, everyone in the National League East will have played the same schedule once the year is finished. And the Braves are going to get a chance to eat too. They haven't even faced, a gauntlet whatsoever to start the year either. And, their opponent win percentage is right around 500 as well. So I just think this reflects the fact, aside from the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers, there aren't really that many good teams in the National League to start the season. You only have four teams, aside from the Phillies, over 500 in the National League right now. The Dodgers, the Braves, as I mentioned, Cubs and Brewers in there as well, which means the final playoff spot right now would go to a team with a losing record, and which would be the Padres, I believe. I think they're two games under 500. So this is what great baseball teams do. You beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat up on. You're on pace to win 112, 113 games right now, which, you know, that doesn't happen by accident. And they have so much talent and are deeper than they've ever been in this recent run of success. Then the type of baseball they're playing is absolutely going to translate against the talented teams they'll face. Not the sloppy baseball they played against, you know, the New York Mets the last couple days, who, again, are not a very good team whatsoever. I think that is clear, too. But just even looking at the schedule right now, it doesn't feel like they have any really difficult stretches. You know, even in June, where they go to the Orioles, they play the Padres, the Diamondbacks, who have also been disappointments so far, and the Tigers in there, who have been decent. Like, that's like the toughest stretch coming up for them. So, also, before I move on here, did you ever think that maybe, like, the opponent record being just under 500 is anything with the Phillies beating those teams? Like, they have six sweeps already, if you count the two-game sweep in New York, which I know is technically considered a sweep, but I don't really, you know, call it a sweep here. But that's definitely a contributing factor when teams like the Padres and the Nationals, who have played the Phillies and the Phillies have had success against, they're right under 500. So if the Phillies aren't able to sweep those teams, you know, they might be over 500. So I just think the Phillies are taking care of business and doing what they have to do. And I know it's an easy start, but I still think that this is a legit baseball team. And they got to take care of business. And they're 31-14. So I can deal with it. But I digress. Want to talk about this lineup over the past week, which is still just really impressive, especially with the injuries, as I mentioned, that they've had to Schwarber and JT. Of course, Trey Turner, who has been doing some work on the field over the past few days. Good sign there for Trey. But they've managed to, you know, keep chugging along here. Bryson Stott, got to be the guy that I lead off with here, because I've just been enjoying everything about the last 2 weeks of Bryson Stott. More than maybe any stretch of his career so far, I think. Some of these at-bats, including the ones last night where he gets to hit off Diaz again, have just been, you know, incredible. And he's putting up some video game numbers in his last 10 games prior to last night, hitting .433, OPS almost at a 1,300, 12 walks in that span. And it just has to be really frustrating as an opposing pitcher to face Bryson Stott right now, because it just feels like he has such a knack for getting his bat on the ball, even if some of these pitches aren't strikes. Like the homer against Diaz in Queens on Monday wasn't even in the zone. It was down and in, and the way he's able to turn on some of these inside pitches and keep them fair is frankly ridiculous. So impressed with Stotty right now. And Topper moved him back up in the lineup, rightfully so. He's hitting like fifth or sixth. Just really encouraging stuff, especially after the start he got off to. He's hitting like under .220 for a while. And after this stretch he's been on, he's hitting above .280, which just shows you how good he's been in such a short amount of time. And it just feels like he's back. Any concern you had at the beginning of the year, the way he's looked so far, or the past 2 weeks, has just given you plenty of reason to be encouraged by what you're seeing from Bryson Stott. And I know I mentioned Trey, but again, just a quick update on him. He participated in some running and fielding drills prior to the game the last two nights. They think he's ahead of schedule here, and I don't know if they're going to rush, or I don't think they're going to rush Trey by any means, but maybe he follows Bryce's lead last year, comes back from a long-term injury a little early here. So that's good stuff to hear about Trey Turner, because he was off to just such a good start. You know, batting over .340 when he goes down, was leading the team in steals as well, and kind of doing all, you know, the little things that we expected Trey Turner to do when they signed him here for over $300 million. But I wanted to talk about Sosa in terms of him replacing him. But he's not only been adequate on offense, but the numbers he's put up, you know, granted mostly against lefties, are just flat out good. And he's been a very good ball player for them over the course of the past couple weeks. And I'd also say he's probably, not even probably, I would say he's certainly a better shortstop than Trey Turner fielding-wise. So it really feels like the Phils haven't missed a beat here since he's been out. And that's saying a lot when you're replacing one of the better shortstops in the game, who got off to an incredibly hot start and is one of the tone setters of your lineup. So great stuff from Edmundo Sosa. Really just, you know, filling in for Trey as best as he possibly can here. And it seems like it may be sooner rather than later when they get Trey back. So as long as he can kind of keep this up for a short period of time, I think the Phillies offense won't miss a beat, and they haven't so far. So speaking of tone setters, I want to talk about Harper. Feels like he's had a weird year so far with some of the hot and cold stretches. Like, he sits out with the migraine on Tuesday, but then right when you begin to doubt, like, does he have that little back problem? We saw him, you know, I know Rob Thompson said that he just slipped on his swing in Miami, but you saw him kind of, you thought he tweaked his back there, and he's had the back issues before, so I was a little concerned. But then he has the migraine on Tuesday and then comes back on Wednesday with a homer in the first inning to tie the game at one and sort of settle everyone in after you go down with Ranger on the mound, which is a rarity this year, as we know. You know he's going to have that big stretch eventually where he just goes on a crazy tear for multiple weeks. He's still leading the team in homers with 10. OPS plus is 161, which is well above league average. And the defense has been great over at first base. And I have to ask, can we just please get Bryce into the All-Star game this year as a Phil? We've had Craig Kimbrel in the All-Star game. Nick Castellanos last year as well. Pat Neshek has been a freaking all-star for the Phillies, and Bryce Harper hasn't yet. Just think about that. It's time we get Harp into the All-Star game as a Philly, and I think he will. Olsen hasn't been great to start the year out in Atlanta, neither has Alonzo. Christian Walker has been really good out in Arizona, but does he get the votes? Probably not. It'll probably end up being Harper and Freddie Freeman as the National League's all-star first baseman, but we'll see if that comes to fruition. Anyway, Boehm. Still hitting, man. He had the big RBI to get things going last night. But then in extras, you know, grounds into the brutal double play in the 10th to create two outs there when you could have won the game after the Mets got held scoreless in the top half. But that's what you get sometimes with Alec Boehm, because he's always making contact and whiffing so infrequently. Still leads the team in RBIs, OPS, OPS+, plus, total bases, and he surpassed Shohei Ohtani last night for the league lead in doubles as well. So he's doing everything he can at the plate, and he's done a great job in that four spot. So good stuff from Boehm still. Want to mention, going to the outfield for a second, Johan Rojas getting the night off last night after dropping a couple pretty easy balls in the game on Wednesday night. I know there was mist, I know there was rain, but it seemed like he kind of just boofed them. And I'm not going to be concerned about him feeling-wise, because he'll be fine. Those are just a couple of mental lapses where you'll see that from a younger player from time to time. Apparently Rob Thompson took him aside, and a couple of the players kind of talked to him as well after the game or prior to the game last night. And again, he's been doing fine at the plate. He's hitting over 230 now, which you'll certainly take from Johan Rojas, but you expect him to be an elite defender in the field. And if he's not catching those easy pop flies, then we're going to have a bigger problem on our hands here. So he'll be fine. But, yeah, that was just a weird night from Johan Rojas. And I think they said it was a scheduled day off, but I think it was just good that they were kind of able to get him off his feet yesterday after those mistakes in the game on Wednesday night.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So, speaking of outfielders I just can't get a beat on, Nick Castellanos, it just feels like every time he's kind of turning a corner, he takes a little step back. Just some really weak swings during the Mets series after I thought he had an awesome series in Miami. It just feels like, yeah, he's had some chances against lefties as well. I feel like the Phillies have seen a ton of lefties lately. And like he says, he's got no plan up there, so he's just hitting and that's that. But he does get the sac fly to tie the game up last night. But I just feel like any time he's coming up in a big at-bat right now, my confidence level rather low for Nick Castellanos. But you just got to hope that he can continue to avoid chasing pitches as best he can, and hopefully the power surge comes eventually in, I guess, a longer hot streak than a shorter one. So that's all I really have on Castellanos there. But I want to kind of shift to the pitching staff here, who's been really good, even last night, despite the wild pitches. And when Walker goes out with the toe injury as well, I thought the bullpen stepped up aside, again, from those wild pitches. Rob Thompson said post-game last night that Taiwan Walker's toe, which got hit by a line drive in, I think it was the third or the fourth inning, one of them. It is not broken, but they are calling it a big toe contusion, and they are unsure if he will make his next start or not. So we'll see if he has to miss time, and if Spencer Turnbull ends up back in the rotation. He looked good as a long man. Didn't look great, actually. He looked okay. He struggled with command a little bit, but has looked overall decent as a long man so far in that role. But with Walker, my biggest concern with him so far is the fact that his split usage has been down so much compared to what that pitch last year he was throwing it, over 33%. It's down to 16.9%. So not sure what the issue is there. And when you aren't a velo guy, and trust me, he's not, and you're struggling with command, there are some balls that are going to get hit hard. And if you lay fastballs up there, major league hitters are going to take advantage of them, like Pete Alonso did last night on that home run, which is 115 miles an hour off the bat. So we'll see what comes of the injury, but that looked painful in real time, no doubt about it. But I was encouraged by Walker's first two starts. Last night didn't look great. Definitely had some hard hit balls off him before he left the game. And like I said, just kind of peculiar that he's not I don't know if he's not trusting it or he's just not throwing it, but he's not throwing that split at the rate he has the past couple seasons. And it feels like that is the pitch that kind of got him the contract with the Phillies. The Phillies saw how effective that split was in his last year with the Mets, and they said, hey, we're going to ride this pitch for you, and just hasn't been the case this year. So interesting stuff there. Will definitely be something to keep an eye on. But one guy who, on the other end of the spectrum, absolutely dominated in Queens on Tuesday was Aaron Nola, and I want to talk about that start because I was really encouraged with what I saw from Knowles in that complete game shutty, because it was one of those starts where, obviously everything was going well. He was perfect through five, but I thought he made some really good pitches down the stretch, especially in the ninth when he had some traffic on the bases. The fastball location was just absolutely elite. The Mets had zero barrels on the day. When he's able to dot his four seam and, his two seam up like that, the breaking stuff just becomes so effective. And the knuckle curve, he has truly evolved into a really special pitch for Nola. So feel really good about him right now. He'll get back on the mound this weekend as well. Feel good about Ranger still, who, kind of a weird start the other night. Usually give up no earned runs, and it's like, oh, it's a great start. But for Ranger, it was just, it was an okay start. There was some, struggled with command a little bit. Location just wasn't the best with, his fastball and some of his breaking stuff too. Was definitely struggling with the command with those pitches. But as Rangers typically done over the past couple of years, he bared down when he had to, and he still ends up giving up no earned runs to lower his minuscule ERA to a 1.37. That's good for second in all of baseball. Still giving up very weak contact. His ground ball rate is otherworldly right now. And the value on his off-speed stuff has been some of the best in baseball this year. So for my money, he's been the best pitcher in baseball, right up there with Shota Umaga, who leads the National League in ERA for the Cubs. Tyler Glass now from the Dodgers has been really dominant as well. And Zach Wheeler, still in the race, but definitely took a hit to his odds on Sunday with his outing against the Marlins. But he'll be back in action tonight. Is he still the Cy Young favorite? I'm actually going to check that right now. I would think he probably still is, despite giving up all those runs in Miami. But I feel like that was sort of a fluky start for him, because he's had those in the past where he kind of just is just missing with the fastball, which was the case in Miami. you know, this past Sunday. And I don't know. I just think that typically he bounces back from those type of starts, and he'll have a chance to do it against the Nats team that, you know, offensively hasn't been great. So we will see if he is able to do that. For the Cy Young Award, the odds are still, Zach Wheeler is favored at plus 300. Imanaga right behind him at plus 500. Glass now plus 550. And Ranger Suarez in fourth at plus 600. So that is the Cy Young outlook right now. And bullpen-wise, wild pitches last night were very frustrating. But overall, this group has been really good. And how about Jose Ruiz this week? I got to give him some credit. Good for him, man. Starts off the year in AAA after giving up and gives up a couple runs in Miami when the Phils were up big just in cleanup duty last week. But he put up some massive zeros against the Mets this week, including in both the 9th and 10th last night, which is really good. Got that huge strikeout on Lindor. By the way, Lindor, he is really, really struggling this year. Like, when the Mets first signed him, I was a big Francisco Lindor guy back in Cleveland, and I'm like, this guy's going to kill us for the next 10 years, and he has really struggled against the Phillies. I don't think he had a hit in any of those four games, so even over the past couple of years, just has not been the Francisco Lindor that we saw in Cleveland, and you have to wonder if the Mets maybe regret giving him that contract, and we'll see how the rest of the year plays out, but he's batting under 200 and just kind of looks lost up there at the plate. So anyway, but back to this bullpen. Want to mention that Sir Anthony has been better, certainly, this past week or so. Scoreless over his past five appearances with just two hits allowed since, you know, kind of that blow-up outing in Anaheim when the Phils lost that game 6-5. Getting anything close to 2022 Sir Anthony would just be massive for this ball club. So hopefully that trend can continue. Weird night last night for a couple of the Phils money guys and Hoffman and Alvarado. Hoffman had a little trouble locating the slider, and the wild pitch leads to a run. Same thing happens to Alvarado in the 11th, and he got a ball smoked off him down the right field line. I think that was Bader. It was Bader or J.D. Martinez, I forget, one of the right-handers. But, I have trust in both those guys still. I just think that they'll be fine. Phillies are still heading into last night's game, fourth-best bullpen ERA in baseball. And I got to mention this guy. Matt Strom, meanwhile, since allowing the two runs in his first appearance against Atlanta on opening day, March 30th, get ready for these numbers. 17 appearances, just over 17 innings, no runs, 28 strikeouts, one walk. I'll repeat that. 17 appearances, no runs, 28 strikeouts, one walk. Just absolute dominance from Matt Strom there. And between him and Alvarado as your lefty options, and you have Kirk Ring, who's pitched really well, and we'll see if Sir Anthony can bounce back, and I still have total trust in Jeff Hoffman. You have some really good options from both the right-hand and left-hand side as you get down to the stretch of the end of games. Do I think the Phillies will still maybe pursue a right-handed reliever at the deadline? I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't really think they need that distinct closer, even despite the loss last night. So we'll see if that is a priority for them at the deadline. It does feel like they, if they have the record that they currently have, or if they're as many games above 500 as we hope them to be, I think that they will still be big players at the deadline. And Dombrowski kind of hasn't made that big splashy move yet since he's been the GM of the Philadelphia Phillies. So this might be the year to do it. We'll see. I know Mason Miller's out there. I feel like it would be a lot to give up. Ryan Helsley definitely could be an option from St. Louis as well. So definitely could be a couple guys that could end up being Phillies at the deadline. But before we get out of here, let's take a quick look at the matchups this weekend as the Nats come up to CBP for a three-gamer. Tonight, 6:40, it'll be Zach Wheeler looking to bounce back from that rough outing against Miami. And he'll face Jake Irvin, who, like the rest of the Nats staff right now, hasn't been too bad this season. 3.55 ERA and a whip barely above one. Wheeler, meanwhile, just kind of weird numbers here. Struggled against the Nats last year big time. 7.48 ERA in four games. Gave up four more runs in three of those starts. Gave up a seven spot in one of them. But you have to expect that whole bounce back against the Nats offense that, you know, isn't the greatest. So we will see if Wheeler can bounce back from that start in Miami. Then Saturday at 6:05, it'll be a lefty matchup of Christopher Sanchez against Mackenzie Gore for the Nats, who has struggled against the Phils in his career, but has also had a solid season for Washington so far. Sanchez coming off that outing in New York on Monday, where he had to really battle, but ultimately put the Phils in a position to win that game. Then wrapping it up on Sunday at 1:35, it'll be Aaron Nola facing off against Trevor Williams, who has been pretty remarkable in his 41 and two-thirds innings so far, boasting a 1.94 ERA and a 1.06 whip, and just giving up over six hits per nine innings. So we'll see if the Phils can skew those numbers at all. He's had a really, really good season for the Nats up to this point. So that'll do it for another edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And I got to say, it's really fun coming on here to talk about the best team in baseball. And I hope that continues when we are back next week. So for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. And hopefully we see the Phils win some more ball games this week. I'm excited. We'll be back next week. And yeah, we'll talk soon. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.